Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 13. Dhritarashtra quits home. Text 17. Evam
Griheshu
Saktanam Pramatanam Tad Ihaya Achyakramad Avigyata Kala Dostara Evam Griheshu Saktanam
Evam Griheshu Saktanam
Pramatanam Tad Ihaya
Pramatanam Tad Ihaya
Atyakrama Davigyata
Atyakrama Davigyata
Kalaparama Dostara Evam Griheshu Saktanam
Evam Griheshu Saktanam
Pramatanam Tad Ihaya
Pramatanam Tad Ihaya
Atyakrama Davigyata
Atyakrama Davigyata
Kalaparama Dostara
Kalaparama Dostara
Evam Griheshu Saktanam
Evam Griheshu Saktanam
Pramatanam Tad Ihaya
Pramatanam Tad Ihaya
Atyakrama Davigyata
Atyakrama Davigyata
Kalaparama Dostara
Kalaparama Dostara
Evam
Thus,
Griheshu, in the family affairs,
Saktanam,
of persons who are too attached,
Pramatanam,
insanely attached,
Tat ihaya,
engrossed in such thoughts.
Atyakramat,
surpassed.
Avigyata,
imperceptibly.
Kala,
eternal time.
Parama,
supremely.
Dostara,
insurmountable. Translation. Insurmountable eternal time imperceptibly overcomes those who are too much attached to family affairs and are always engrossed in their thought. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. I am now happy. I have everything in order. My bank balance is quite enough. I can now give my children enough estate. I am now successful. The poor beggar sannyasis depend on God, but they come to beg from me. Therefore, I am more than the Supreme God. Okay. These are some of the thoughts which engross the insanely attached householder who is blind to the passing of eternal time. Our duration of life is measured, and no one is able to enhance it even by a second against the scheduled time ordained by the supreme will. Such valuable time, especially for the human being, should be cautiously spent, because even a second passed away imperceptibly, cannot be replaced, even in exchange for thousands of golden coins amassed by hard labor. Every second of human life is meant for making an ultimate solution to the problems of life, which are repetition of birth and death, and revolving in the cycle of 8,400,000 different species of life. The material body, which is subject to birth and death, diseases and old age, is the cause of all sufferings of the living being. Otherwise, the living being is eternal. He is never born, nor does he ever die. Foolish persons forget this problem. They do not know at all how to solve the problems of life, but become engrossed in temporary family affairs, not knowing that eternal time is passing away imperceptibly, and that their measured duration of life is diminishing every second, without any solution to the big problem, namely, repetition of birth and death, disease, and old age. This is called illusion. But such illusion cannot work on one who is awake in the devotional service of the Lord. Yudhishthira Maharaj and his brothers, the Pandavas, were all engaged in the service of the Lord Sri Krishna, and they had very little attraction for the illusory happiness of this material world. As we have discussed previously, Maharaj Yudhishthira was fixed in the service of the Lord, Mukunda, the Lord who can award salvation, and therefore he had no attraction even for such comforts of life as are available in the kingdom of heaven, because even the happiness obtained on the planet Brahmaloka is also temporary and illusory. Because the living being is eternal, he can be happy only in the eternal abode of the kingdom of God, Paravyoma, from which no one returns to this region of repeated birth and death, disease and old age. Therefore, any comfort of life or any material happiness which does not warrant an eternal life is but illusion for the eternal living being. One who understands this factually is learned, and such a learned person can sacrifice any amount of material happiness to achieve the desired goal known as Brahma Sukham, or absolute happiness. Real transcendentalists are hungry for this happiness, and as a hungry man cannot be made happy by all comforts of life minus foodstuff, so the man hungry for eternal absolute happiness cannot be satisfied by any amount of material happiness. Therefore the instruction described in this verse cannot be applied to Maharaj Yudhishthira or his brothers and mother. It was meant for persons like Dhritarashtra, for whom Vidura came especially to impart lessons. Just repeat the verse. Evam griheshu saktanam pramatanam tad ihaya atyakrama da vigyata kala parama dustara. Insurmountable eternal time imperceptibly overcomes those who are too much attached to family affairs and are always engrossed in their thought. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nera Vishesha Shunyavadi Bastitya Dejatarne Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasati Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Vanchakalpatrulubhyascha, Kripa Sindhubhyevacha, Patitanam Bhavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo, Namo Namah. So thank you, devotees, for attending Srimad Bhagavatam class. Continuing with this very vivid and important section of Srimad Bhagavatam where Vidura is shortly going to start preaching to Dhritarashtra in a very, very outstanding and very strong way. And here again, in this particular verse, as we saw previously, the nature of people like Dhritarashtra and the nature of people like Maharaj Yudhisthira, who was present, of course, is being contrasted. And it's also a very vivid contrast as between day and night, black and white, up and down. These are very, you know, these are polar opposites. So the contrasts between them are very strong and very clear. And the contrast between Maharaj Yudhisthira and his brothers, the Pandavas, and their mother Kunti, and their transcendental associates, and the nature of Dhritarashtra, well, there's a tremendous difference. Very, very great difference. And it's very important, extremely important, to note the difference and to note the different features of the difference, the differences. And for ourselves as aspiring devotees, to try to cultivate, follow in the footsteps of Maharaj Yudhisthira and Arjuna and those personalities, and be very careful not to follow in the footsteps of Dhritarashtra. Right at the beginning of the purport, Srila Prabhupada expresses himself as if a materialist is speaking. And it's interesting. You know, there are degrees of materialist. And when you start reading the very first bit, the very, very first sentence, in fact, of the purport, initially, it doesn't sound so bad. I mean, you can tell this is a materialist, but it's not so extreme. I am now happy. Well, so many materialists think like that. I have everything in order. Again, it's not so dramatic. My bank balance is quite enough. Well, maybe some rich materialists would think like that. I can now give my children enough estate. This is a concern of many materialistic people. I am now successful. Well, that's also not that uncommon. The poor beggar sannyasis depend on God, but they come to beg from me. Therefore, I am more than the Supreme God. Hare Krishna. As Prabhupada says, these are some of the thoughts which engross the insanely attached householder. He's really gone off the deep end. But it's a fact that there are definitely people who think like that. I mean, the last bits about how I'm greater than God and who cares about God. Who needs God when I am there? This is insane. Insane type of consciousness. And the extreme materialists, the staunch materialists, they may think like that, just as we see in Bhagavad Gita chapter 7, verse 15. That Naman Duskritanomuda Prapadyante Naradama Mayaya Parita Jnana Asuram Bhavamashita. It's describing four types of materialistic people, non-devotees, who do not surrender and will not surrender. Yeah. They, in many cases, they would practically do anything other than surrender to the Lord. So the first type is the mutas, just the very grossly foolish, ordinary working class people who can see no further than just earning enough to have a place to live and food on the table, and that's essentially it. But the second category, they are the Naradamas, who Srila Prabhupada describes as the lowest of mankind. These are the staunch materialists who are not like the mudhas. The mudhas are basically satisfied, as we said, with just a simple existence, and they can carry on like that. But the Naradamas, they're particularly the very ambitious materialists, the big politicians, the big business people, and people of this type who really want to systematically exploit material nature, and they are quite happy to exploit other people, and what to speak of other species of life, for their material benefit. And just like in Russia now, don't tell the Russians I said this, but the average Russian, who I know quite well, they couldn't really care less about having a war with Ukraine and expanding the Russian Empire. They couldn't really care less. They're just happy to go on and live and like that. But a small group, they're very ambitious to increase the scope of Russia. And so they're doing all sorts of things. These are like classic Naradamas. Classic Naradamas. The ambitious, staunch materialists who are executing different plans to take advantage as much as possible of the material situation and other people and other living beings for their benefit. This is Naradama, the lowest amongst mankind. So let other people die. Let other people be abused. Let them suffer. Let there be, for example, let there be global warming. And let the environment be abused. It's not important. The only thing which is important is that I get ahead. So this is Naradama. And what Srila Prabhupada was saying at the beginning of the purport, how this materialistic person may think that I am better than God. Never fear, I am here. This is Naradama. This is a staunch materialist, very strong materialist. So, despite all their plans, all their endeavors, and all the efforts that they make, and all their ingenuity and cleverness, despite all of that, more or less unknown to them, at least largely unknown to them, time is ticking away and they are losing their lifespan. And sooner or later, it will catch up with them. When the time of death comes, then suddenly they'll notice that, oh, all my success, political success, all my business success, even my intellectual success, at least for those who are mayaya parita jnana, the materialistic intellectuals, suddenly they'll realize all of this is of no use. Literally, zero. When the Yamadutas come, which they definitely will for people like that, then, you know, if they're politicians, they can't call for the army or their security team can't help them. If they're rich people, they cannot pull out their credit card and ask the Yamadutas, do you take Visa? If not, I have a MasterCard also. Or just cash. I got plenty of cash. Tell me what you need to let me go. The Yamadutas do not accept Visa cards. They do not even take cash. When your time comes, the Yamadutas take you, and that's it. So, even actually Srila Prabhupada explains on a number of occasions, few occasions he explained about an experience that he had personally. He was traveling on a train on business, and in the same carriage, some big businessman was there. The big businessman had a heart attack as the train was going. And so people gathered, and Prabhupada himself gathered, and Prabhupada was something of a, not exactly a doctor, but as a pharmaceutical person, he knew a lot about different types of medications and drugs. And that businessman offered that, just tell me how much you want, it's okay, I'll give it to you. But I need another 4 years to complete my plans. Just give me another four years. Tell me how much you want, and it's yours. But Prabhupada explained, the gentleman did not make it to the next railway station. He departed. So Srila Prabhupada, in the beginning of the purport, he is focusing on this point. And even, well, in one of the previous purports, Srila Prabhupada referred to Chanakya Pandit and some of his wise, kind of more materially wise, sometimes somewhat spiritually wise sayings. And here, Chanakya Pandit has also stated that time is so valuable that if you lose a second, 1 second, you cannot buy it back, not 1 second, for all the money. It's not a matter of being like Bill Gates or some of these types of big industrialists, etc., and having $50 billion, $60 billion. It's not a matter of that. Here, Chanakya Pandit is talking about all the money. If you, for example, if you sold planet Earth with all of its gold, all of its oil, all of its mineral resources, everything. If you sold planet Earth, if you're able to evaluate the value of it to the man on the moon or the people from Mars, if you sold the planet Earth, even if you sold the whole universe, and you got lots, such a vast, vast amount of money, it would not be enough to buy back 1 second. And what to speak of a lifetime wasted, as the Bhagavatam says, inexperienced by years in this world. And the Bhagavatam then says, better one moment, means like that, a flash, better one moment of full consciousness than a whole lifetime, even if it were extremely materially successful. But better one moment of full consciousness, because Krishna consciousness is of such extreme value. But the materialistic people, they are busy wasting their time in most, you know, amazing ways. I mean, they've figured out many ways to waste your time, like creative ways to really waste your time. And it's a great shame. But when a person becomes a devotee, then they at least should become more aware of this fact. And therefore we find in Nectar of Devotion in the 18th chapter, where the symptoms of a devotee on the level of bhava basically means a perfect devotee. A devotee who has completed successfully and finished the process of sadhana bhakti and come to the point of actual perfection. So there, at the beginning of the 18th chapter of Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada lists out the 9 qualities, main qualities of a person on the level of bhava. And one of them is, I think the Sanskrit term is kala tvam, but anyway, what it means is does not waste any time. In devotional service, does not waste any time fiddling around on the internet, sitting around chitting and chatting about nothing in particular, and so on and so forth. An advanced devotee is very conscious of the time factor and is very conscious and determined to make use of time as much as possible, as much as humanly possible. Even Srila Prabhupada, one time Srila Prabhupada was meeting with George Harrison, and somehow the point of time came up, and using time and misusing time, and George Harrison was saying, yes, you know, we waste so much time, and Prabhupada said, yes. Prabhupada said, whenever I sleep, whenever I go to sleep, I lie down, I think, here I am wasting my time again. Of course, because we have material bodies, the body needs to sleep, unfortunately. But sleep in the Bhagavatam is compared to death. You might as well be dead. For what use you get out of sleeping in terms of doing something and actually utilizing the time for some valuable purpose. You might as well be dead. And sleep is compared to a snake that may consume you. So this is a very important point for the devotees, not to waste time. In fact, time, the kala shakti, time as an energy of the Lord has a very special position in that when at the beginning of creation, when Mahavishnu glances over the pradhan, the unmanifest material nature, it's just like just a big conglomeration of all the different material elements and different things, including the three modes, which make up the material world. So Lord Mahavishnu glances over the pradhan and injects into it, via his glance, the living entities who have been resting in a state of sleep since the previous distraction. But then he also injects through the glance his Icha Shakti. It's called Icha, means desire. The potency of the Lord's desire, in the sense of his desire for how the living entities who have just been injected in also, how they can recover their Krishna consciousness through the process of life in the material world. But then a third thing which is injected is the Kala Shakti, the time potency of the Lord, which then stimulates the three modes. And when the three modes are activated by their potency, all the other elements and ingredients of the material creation become stimulated to manifest independent of each other, so that they can then be utilized. Each different component can be utilized strategically in the process of the manifestation of the material world. So that Kala Shakti is actually a personal potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And even though, of course, it's material time, but at the same time, because of its connection with the Lord, and because of it being his personal potency, time has a special position. And we see in Bhagavad Gita, in the 11th chapter, when Lord Krishna is manifesting the universal form to Arjuna, having seen all the astonishing and bewildering features, at least a certain number of them, of the universal form, then Arjuna asks Krishna that, who are you actually? I thought you were my friend. We used to sit together, eat together, joke together, and like friends. But now I see you like this. This is just something totally different from my friend. So Arjuna asks Krishna, who are you? And what is your mission? Why are you here? Obviously not just to joke around and sit around. What is your mission? And Lord Krishna responds, Kalosmi Lokakshaya Krit Pravritta. I am time. And I've come to destroy everyone and everything. So like this, in the material world, time rules. Time rules. And when our bodies come to the end of their prescribed time, they're destroyed. When the universe comes to the end of its prescribed time, then the universe is destroyed. In fact, the description is that the process of destruction really starts sort of coming to a climax when the Kala Shakti is withdrawn by Mahavishnu. First of all, he implanted it through his glands, and then the process of creation started happening. But then he withdraws the Kala Shakti and everything collapses and returns to that state of pradhan, of just a conglomeration, big mixture of all the different ingredients that the material world is is made up of, but you cannot distinguish one ingredient from another. As in a soup, if it's really cooked and cooked and cooked and cooked till everything is just totally dissolved, then you cannot tell that there's the salt and there's the potato and there's something else. It's all just a big mixture. So the devotees are very conscious of time and the uselessness of misusing time. Not just uselessness, but how detrimental it is to misuse time. How it just goes against you if you misuse time. There's a famous conversation between, if I remember correctly, Alexander the Great, the so-called great, and his philosopher friend, I think Dionysius. I don't know if I've got that name correct. Alexander the Great came to visit Dionysius, who was a big philosopher, and found him just lying down, relaxing. And Alexander said, "You know, I'm going to go and conquer. And I'm going to conquer some country." And Dionysius said, "Oh, really? What are you going to do after that?" "Then I'm going to conquer the next country." "And what are you going to do after that?" "Well, then I'll conquer the next country." So one after the other, going to conquer, conquer, conquer. And Dionysius finally at the end, he said, "And then what are you going to do?" And Alexander the Great said, "Then I'm going to come home." And Dionysius said, "Well, what are you going to do when you come home?" Alexander said, "I'm going to take rest." Dionysius said, "Well, look, I'm taking rest right now. Why don't you just join me?" "And you don't need to worry about all of that." Anyway. So it's a very important aspect of life for a devotee, time. And the crucial importance of time, culminating in the time of death, is really something that a devotee should be very mindful of. Prabhupada would say that a materialist should live every day like he is not going to die. Because if he thinks, "Well, I may die," then he'll be in anxiety and he won't be able to get into his sense gratification, expanding his material situation. So a materialist should live every day like he's never going to die. But a devotee should live every day like it's going to be his last. Ready. So that doesn't mean some sort of depressive consciousness, just some sort of fatalistic consciousness, some sort of, you know, uninterested type of consciousness. It just means full Krishna consciousness. That's all. Chanting very attentively, fully engaged in remembering the Lord, fully engaged in serving the Lord. Not sitting down thinking, "Okay, I'm going to die," you know, and somehow or other trying to approach it in that sense, but just continuing on fully in the process of Krishna consciousness. As Prabhupada said, "I want to die like Arjuna on the battlefield with my boots on." In the battle. Not like some sort of decrepit old person who just fizzles out in some bed, in some miserable place. Yes, so the materialistic people then, they're in this great illusion It's an amazing illusion. First of all, that time doesn't really matter. And that as I age, it doesn't really matter. Because generally they're not aware of the time of death and the meaning, what's going to happen at the time of death, and the impact that the time of death is going to have, and the need to become ready. As far as they're concerned, generally, life means just an ongoing continuum of enjoyment and efforts to achieve enjoyment. Just ongoing, without a specific end. But then finally in the last stages, it becomes quite clear to them what's going to happen, and that's very bewildering for them. But in the meantime, the young ones, even the middle-aged ones, as far as they're concerned, life is going on and it's going to continue going on. And it's just, life is just a facility for enjoyment. So this is illusion. As Krishna says, I am time, and as time, I have come. My mission is to just destroy everyone and everything. So the devotee is very aware of that. And as the Bhagavatam says, that the sun, by rising and setting, rising and then setting, is shortening the life of everyone except the devotee. Except the devotee. Even though for the devotee, of course, the sun is rising and setting also, but it is not shortening the life of the devotee in the sense that the devotee is fully engaged in Krishna consciousness while the material body is alive, and when the material body comes to its inevitable end, the devotee will just continue on serving Krishna. So it doesn't matter. Just doesn't matter. Prabhupada in famous class on the appearance or disappearance day of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. Srila Prabhupada tells the well-known story of the four people who were blessed by a sage in regards to their life expectancies. There was a butcher. He was blessed. Don't live and don't die, because your life is too horrible. You definitely shouldn't live. It's not worth living like that. But don't die. Be careful you don't die. Because when you do die, the karma you're going to get, the Yamadutas will be having a major festival. Wow. What you're going to go through is just going to be too much. Altogether. Then there was a prince, and he was blessed, live and don't die. The butcher is don't live and don't die. The prince is you live and you don't die. Because while he's living, he is enjoying life, so to speak. All facility is available to him. Wine, women, and song, practically as much as he could want. But when he dies, similar to the butcher's situation, maybe not as bad, but the same sort of vein, he's going to get so much bad karma for all his sinful activity. So you live and you don't die. And then the brahmachari, the blessing, you die. You don't live, you die. Because the brahmachari should be fully absorbed in devotional service, following the process of sadhana bhakti very meticulously, and just everything focused like that altogether. So he's fully in Krishna consciousness. If he leaves his body now, he'll go to Krishna. But later, if after being a brahmachari for some time, if he decides to become a householder, then he's going to have to work in a material situation, deal with material people in a materialistic environment, and look after the family and their material needs of shelter and health and food and all these very material responsibilities. So if he dies at that time, who knows what's going to happen? Because his mind may well just be filled with all these material concerns. So better he die now and not live. And then the great pure devotee, very advanced devotee of the Lord, the sage blessed him, "You live or die, it's up to you. Doesn't matter. Because now you're fully Krishna conscious. Whenever the time of death comes, you'll be fully Krishna conscious. And you'll go to Krishna and be fully Krishna conscious. So it doesn't matter. You live or die as you like." So these were the four blessings. And the devotee is an intelligent person and a learned person, because the devotee understands this whole process. Whereas the materialistic person, who's oblivious to these things and is just carrying on in material life, is neither intelligent, anyway, is certainly not intelligent. In one place, Srila Prabhupada refers to the intelligence of the scientists and these people who have PhDs and all that sort of thing. Prabhupada says it is not really intelligence, it's not really knowledge. Prabhupada says it is material cleverness, which is different from real intelligence. Because intelligence means to be able to discern truth from untruth, fact from fiction, very clearly. Everything is clear. And then intelligence means also to then make a program for truth, for real success in life. This is intelligence. But if you don't know who you are, and how you got here, where you're going from here, what you should be doing, if you don't know these things, how can you be intelligent or knowledgeable? It's just illusion, the darkness of illusion. So when Vidura's speaking so strongly about these things, he's not addressing Maharaj Yudhisthira, that you should wake up. You should really wake up. You're dreaming. You're asleep. He's not addressing Maharaj Yudhisthira, because Maharaj Yudhisthira is vividly aware. But he's addressing Dhritarashtra. So Vidura's come to save Dhritarashtra at the last moment, somehow save him. Hare Krishna.
Amen.
Any comments or questions? Maharaj, some words of wisdom. Enlighten us. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
such areas that in the spiritual world there is no past and future, it's just present time. In the spiritual world only present time. So material world is also past and future.
Well, see, it's there's transcendental time though. But the real thing is, it doesn't deteriorate anything. That's the sense. You know, there is night, then there is morning, then there is day, then there is evening, then there is night in the spiritual world. It's not just like it's daytime, it's always 12 o'clock, midday. No. There are these different phases of time, but they don't affect anything. Therefore, time in that sense, because time, as Krishna says, as time, my mission is to destroy everything. So that time does not destroy anything, but rather it's a background for Krishna to enjoy his pastimes in. That's its purpose, that's its function. And that's how it works. And no one is aging. No one is aging. Nothing is aging. So in that sense, time is conspicuous by its absence in the context of its main function, which is to destroy. Is that okay?
And in this world, present time doesn't exist, how do you understand?
Well, it does, but the thing is that the materialists, they're so much into thinking how I enjoyed, and when they're not thinking about how I enjoyed, they're thinking about how I will enjoy. So as a result, they're often, you know, not always, but often, very weak in really addressing their situations now. They're good at plan making, good at remembering how, you know, all the good times, but actually doing something of real value now, they're very weak on. Jiva Goswami makes that point, that they tend to not live in the present. They're either living in the past, and then they switch into the future, and then back into the past, but they're very weak in the present, and therefore they're not able to achieve much. Even materially, they may not be so able to achieve much. Shubha Vilas Prabhu, some comments. Yes.
So then would a devotee be one who lives mainly in the present?
Well, you could say, of course the devotee learns from the past. A devotee learns from experience. And a devotee also makes plans and programs for increasing devotional service in the future. But the devotee is very much in the present, utilizing the present for Krishna consciousness. In other words, the devotee doesn't just daydream about what maybe I could do in devotional service. The devotee makes practical plans for the future, for increasing book distribution, increasing the preaching, how to develop programs for increasing the Krishna consciousness movement. The devotee does that, but the devotee is very much in the present and using the present constructively. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Yeah.
Haribol.